Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with me tonight is Frank Briscoe, who has been preaching, well, as I said before, longer than I've been alive. I'm 57 years old, and he's been preaching longer than I've been on the face of this earth. He's filling in for David because David got a little bit of a virus, and it affected him because of his immune deficiencies, because of his bone marrow transplant. He was in a hospital for a few days, but he's now home, came home today, and doing better, and hopefully he'll be back with us next Monday. But it's good to have Frank, a good soldier of the cross, helping us tonight on the program. Tonight we're airing on KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, KQMK 1680 AM out of Hydro, Oklahoma, and we're also airing on the Gospel Radio Network. We also would like to remind you that this is a live call-in program, and the number to call if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You can also get involved in the chat box if you'll go to the Gospel Radio Network. And at the bottom of the page, you'll see the chat box. And if you don't see it there, well, just refresh your browser. You'll see it pop up. Type your name down at the bottom and type in the passwords that are showed there for you, and you'll be on there able to be a part of the discussion. We also want to remind you of a nonprofit organization that myself and David and several others are a part of. It's called Tolstar. Tolstar.org is a website, and as I mentioned, this is a nonprofit organization that has gospel sermons there on that website from some of the past 30 years of gospel sermons, and many of these men are no longer with us. The Tolstar organization records various lectureships, and so we encourage you to go to Tolstar.org and look at what's available there to you and see how that you might be able to help us as well. We also want to remind you about the Harrison Moore webpage, www.harrisonmoore.org. There you can see some of our archived programs. Also, at the bottom right-hand corner of the Harrison Moore webpage, you'll see an RSS feed. You type that and you click that button there, and you can get our broadcast on podcasts that you can listen to at other times you would like. We also want to remind you of our email address, questions@harrisonmoore.org. You may want to email us a question at some other time, or maybe a topic that you would like for us to discuss. This email address will go to David's box as well as my box, and we'll be more than happy to address any questions or any topics that you might be interested in. We want to also mention our additional sponsors. Not only are we being sponsored by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, and also the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, but we're being sponsored as well by the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas, and also the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, located on 4839 Tin Top Road. And we encourage you to visit any of these congregations if you're in their area. All of these have faithful gospel preachers, men who you know are going to preach the truth. And so we encourage you to attend these congregations if you're in the area. Now remember, this is a live call-in talk show. And the number to call if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or comment, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. One other thing before we get into our lesson tonight, I want to remind you of the Gospel Radio Network programming. If you'll go to the Gospel Radio Network and type on the scheduled part of the web page, you'll be able to see the various programs that are being aired. And we really encourage you to listen to Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine that occurs Monday through Wednesday from 11:30 to 12:30. Rick Popejoy, Josh Romo are a part of that good programming. I try to listen to it every day that I can, and you will be happy that you did. Also, in the mornings, Monday through Friday, Mornings with the Master, Richard Rutledge, Ryan Smithy, and others are doing that in the morning. And there are a bunch of other good programming that we encourage you to be a part of, the Gospel Radio Network. Tonight we're going to continue our discussion on the Christian graces. And as we begin our discussion tonight, let's look in our Bibles at the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse 3 and read down through verse 11, and then we're going to come back and pick up where we left off. First, our 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue, whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these ye may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. Yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence, in your faith supply virtue, and in your virtue knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control patience, and in your patience godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you not to be idle nor unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things," now he's talking there about the Christian graces, "ye shall never stumble." Last week we talked about self-control, or as the King James renders it, temperance. And Frank, he tells us that we need to add to our self-control patience. Patience, Frank, is an item that many people in the world, including Christians, are really lacking in, aren't they?
Absolutely, Tom. And first let me say that I appreciate the opportunity of being with you again this evening. The subject of patience, as it applies here with the list of graces that have been given, starts out with the idea of give diligence. Mm-hmm. We have to put forth effort. Patience is not something that we just normally and naturally have. We have to give diligence. We have to develop patience. It requires on our part an effort and a willingness and a desire to have this attitude and to be able to handle and deal with the things of life in the way that we should.
You know, you see small children, Frank, and they don't have much patience at all. When they're hungry, they're going to cry until they get fed. And that is, like you say, something that really has to be developed in our life. You know, Frank, in the long ago, Solomon said, "The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." Patience is something that is very important. And notice these sayings by people of days gone by. An old Dutch proverb says, "A handful of patience is worth more than a bushel of brains." Shakespeare observed, "How poor are they that have not patience, what wound ever did heal by degrees?" Vaughn Monroe said, "This would be fine, a fine world if men showed as much patience all the time as they do while they are waiting for fish to bite." Now, you know something about that, don't you, Frank?
I was kind of wanting you to let me read that one. Fishing requires patience.
Mm-hmm.
Someone said that's the reason it's called fishing and not catching. That the patience that one has, even in an activity such as that,
mm-hmm.
relaxing, but it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned a moment ago about the children, when they're hungry, when they're a little bit older, they want a toy, they want to play, they want it now.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a time for them to learn the patience that's necessary in order for them to get along as it is in this world.
You know, and Frank, even more seriously is with regard to the patience that we need in spiritual matters. You know, it's been said by many that patience is the queen of virtues, but patience is a virtue that too many people are lacking today. You know, patience is a Christian characteristic that every one of us has to possess. And I have to admit that many times I am not a very patient person. And many times we're going to see that our impatience is going to cause us, is it not right, Frank, that sometimes we say things we ought not or do things we should not do because we lack the kind of patience we need?
We react without considering the consequence sometimes of our action. When we do not take and have developed a feeling of patience,
mm-hmm.
and care for the decisions that we make.
Exactly right. You know, in Luke chapter 21, in verse 19, it says, "In your patience ye shall win your souls." I believe the King James says, "Ye shall possess your soul."
Possess your soul.
And so we see there, Frank, I may call you David a few times.
That'd be all right.
But patience is vital in regard to our soul salvation, isn't it?
Absolutely. And another passage there in Peter where he talks about the wives by their patience, by the way they lived,
mm-hmm.
to convert their husband. Not very far from us, there's an individual right now serving as an elder in the church who was converted by the patience of his wife,
mm-hmm.
that she, over a long period of time, lived the kind of Christian life that ultimately impressed him to the point where he became interested, became a Christian, and now serves the church.
Now, had she not had patience, things may have been a lot different, wouldn't it?
It would have been totally different.
Well, you know, we know, Frank, that patience is very important because of the number of times that it's mentioned in the New Testament. 33 times the word patience is mentioned, which gives us really some insight into how important patience is. Frank, how does Webster's define the word patience?
Webster tells us that patience as bearing pains or trials calmly without complaint, manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain, not hasty or impetuous, but steadfast despite opposition, difficulty or adversity, able or willing to bear.
You know, that pretty much pegs it really well as to what patience is all about. But when you think about in the New Testament, the Greek word hupomone, that is the Greek word that is usually rendered patience. And hupomone is a compound word, a hupo meaning under, mone meaning to abide. And so really it means to abide under.
And it would carry with it to abide under pressure,
uh-huh.
under trial, under whatever it might be that with which we have to deal in life.
Mm-hmm. Exactly
that,
right.
That we stand up
mm-hmm.
under these things
mm-hmm.
would be our term.
Thayer defines patience as the characteristic of a man who is unwavering from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety, even the greatest trials and suffering. You know, when we think about patience, Frank, sometimes people think of patience as kind of sitting back in your chair and just twiddling your thumbs and just kind of waiting. But Bible patience is something much more than just simply sitting back and doing nothing.
Bible patience carries with it the idea of activity,
mm-hmm.
of doing. And as we will maybe a little bit later, we'll look a little bit at the word steadfast
mm-hmm.
or continuing in view of whatever the opposition or whatever the challenge might be.
Exactly. You know, another Greek scholar describes this word as patience, endurance, patient awaiting, a patient frame of mind, a patient perseverance, endurance in adherence to an object. And so in all this, Frank, we see that activity is involved in patience, not just sitting back and letting everything happen to you, but being patient. Now, isn't it true, Frank, that the Bible in many passages requires that we have patience?
It requires, it commands, it instructs us that patience is something that we're going to have to have, something we're going to have to develop. The passage that you read in the beginning from Peter's writing, he begins by saying, give all diligence. And probably the best idea that I can give behind that word diligence means that you have to work at it as hard as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to have patience, it's something that we're going to have to work toward.
Exactly right. You know, and in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Man of God. You know, we in camp this past few weeks ago, we're calling each other man of God, and we started shortening for MOG, M-O-G. A man of God is going to be one who is going to have patience. And Frank, this idea of patience is not something that we can take or leave. It is something that the Bible requires us to have.
And the point that you were giving there from Timothy, where he puts a number of things together.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the same thing that Paul gives us in Galatians, where he gives us the fruit of the Spirit of these, and patience is one of them. And as you said, this is something that God requires us to do, that he requires us to develop patience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I kind of like those checklists like that that we have throughout the Bible, the one we just mentioned there, and then the Christian graces, the fruit of the Spirit, the Beatitudes. I look at these kind of like checklists that we need to look at and see how we're doing. And it's amazing how often we find that word patience, or at least the idea of patience in those checklists. And so that's telling me that that's a pretty important item. You know, we're told in Titus 2 and verse 2 that we are to be sound in patience. Now, when we talk about the word sound in patience, Frank, what does that call to your mind with regard to patience?
Well, this is the same term Paul would use concerning doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Sound doctrine literally comes from the idea of being well, healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And here he sound in patience, that we are strong, physically strong in patience. And again, the idea is that we're well, that we're...
So we could be sick spiritually because we don't have the proper patience in our life, right?
That's the way the term is used here,
exactly.
as opposed to being sick without patience.
Well, you know, in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore let us, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Two things there, Frank. We are to run the race with patience, and then he gives us the perfect example of patience, doesn't he, with Jesus?
As Jesus, and he starts out, the joy that was set before him. And the joy that was set before him is what he accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not limited. It's not the joy of dying on the cross. It's the joy of what that accomplished, the redemption of mankind.
Mm-hmm. You know, when we think about this idea, Peyton, now let me remind everyone that this is a live call-in talk show, and the number to call, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a comment or a question, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We also have several in the chat room tonight if you'd like to get involved in the chat room. go to the Gospel Radio Network. Go to the bottom of the page there. When you click on the live button, and you'll see the web, the chat box at the bottom. If it's not there, refresh your browser, and you'll see it pop up, and you can get involved in the discussion. You know, Frank, when we think about the idea of patience, really patience is a characteristic of a Christian, what they should be. And we think about in Revelation chapter 13 in verse 10, there it says, if any man hath an ear, or verse 10, if any man is for captivity, into captivity he goeth. If any man shall kill with the sword he must be killed. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now, when we think about patience in Christianity, Revelation, does it not, Frank, really give us some deep insight into the patience that it took for Christians to survive in the first century?
The purpose of the Revelation letter was to give steadfastness and patience to the saints. The passage that you just read from the 13th chapter of Revelation, 12th chapter is a chapter that's given over to the activity of Satan. Satan never quits. He mm-hmm. attempted to foil the plan of God from the Garden of Eden till the birth of Christ. And when he failed at that, the 12th chapter ends with that he made war with the seed of woman, those that hold the testimony of Jesus, individual Christians. And then as you came into the passage you read there in chapter 13, where he talks about those that are going to live in one way, the way they choose to live, that are for captivity, that's what they're going to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas here is the patience and faith of the saints. If we serve God, then that's what we're going to receive. We're going to receive that which he's provided for us.
And we've got to be patient, long-suffering. We've got to be active. We've got to really have conviction, don't we? Steadfastness to endure the various difficulties. And I can't think of people who had to go through more than the first century Christians. And, you know, you look at Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12. It says, here is the patience of the saints, they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Here, he associates patience with keeping the commands of God.
Keeping the commandments. Yep. And notice the next verse mm-hmm. that goes with this. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, right, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works follow them. They kept the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, their patience, their steadfastness.
You know, to help us to better appreciate and understand what patience is all about, the kind of patience that we as Christians ought to have, it'd be good for us to look at some biblical examples of patience. And, of course, we all need to always start with deity. God the Father is said to be patient. In Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15 and verse 5, it says, now the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of the same mind one another according to Jesus Christ, the God of patience.
You know, Tom, we were talking a little bit before we started the program of the patience of God. When we look at the story of the children of Israel mm-hmm. from the time they crossed the Red Sea for the next period of time, would we have been as patient as God was?
I think I'd have struck them all dead.
With the people. But there you see the patience of God. Mm-hmm. And the end of the patience of God was the children of Israel went into the promised land mm-hmm. and the Savior was born.
Exactly. You know, we see this idea of the patience of God in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, where it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to youward, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Aren't we glad, Frank, that the Lord is a patient God?
If the Lord were not patient and long-suffering with us and with mankind, then there would have been no future for man.
Mm-hmm. You know, the atheist Robert Ingersoll once defied God in public, saying the following, I'll give God 5 minutes to strike me dead for the things I've said. The audience waited breathlessly as he held up his watch. Women fainted at the time almost expired. At the expiration of the 5 minutes, he put his watch back in his pocket. When the old preacher was asked his reaction to the matter, he said, "Did Ingersoll think he could exhaust the patience of God, the patience of the eternal God, in 5 minutes?" You see, God is patience, and I'm thankful that we have a God of patience.
Absolutely. The passage you read, the patience of God is long-suffering. Time is not considered. Mm-hmm. The need of man is what was considered.
Yeah. Time is of no essence to God, is it? You know, when you think of God as a God of eternity and try to put a time frame on him and his patience, it doesn't equate. You know, we look at also, not only is God the Father patient, but also Jesus is patient as well. You'll look in your Bibles in 1 Peter chapter 2, and we have, beginning in verse 20, a very good example of the patience of Jesus. It says in 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 20, "For what glory is it, if when ye sin and are buffeted for it, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye shall take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed." Here we see, Frank, the idea of the patience that Christ manifested in all the horrible things he went through.
You know, when we mentioned again earlier, one section of the book of John, starting chapter 5, and just mm-hmm. skip through three or four
yes.
chapters there,
mm-hmm.
he heals a lame man, a wonderful miracle, and the Jews accuse him of breaking the Sabbath day. Jesus deals with them, he speaks with them, and then he gives the long lesson that's ours in the sixth chapter of the book of John, and by the time he gets to the end of that lesson, they get up and leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then you move to the next chapter, Jesus comes back, begins to teach them again. He heals the blind man. They accuse him of breaking the Sabbath. He sits down and talks with them again. You got four or five chapters there of their arguing with him, wanting to put him to death, and yet Jesus continually says, "Look at the things my Father has done.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what's been done." Patient. And while the leaders may not have followed him, the chapter closes with many believed on him.
Exactly right. And so, you know, Jesus was very patient with his sometimes slow to learn and believe disciples, not only those who are following him, but even those in his closest circle were at times doubting. And he was very patient with them, as seen in John 14, verses 8 to 9, where they were said, "Show us the Father." And he says, "How many times have you seen me? You know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And so he had to be patient with his disciples. Well, Frank, let's take a little bit of a break here from our discussion, and let's mention a couple of things. We want to remind you that we are airing tonight on KATX 97.7 out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, KQMK 1680 AM out of Hydro, Oklahoma, and we're also airing on the Gospel Radio Network. There's also podcast of this programming that you can sign up for at the harrisonmoore.org webpage. We also want to remind you of our additional sponsors. We have the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas, and also the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, located on 4839 10 Top Road. We also want to remind you of the webpage again, theharrisonmoore.org. We also encourage you to visit a blog from thepreacherspc.org that contains articles and various sermon outlines and devotional thoughts that might be of help to you. Again, this is a live call-in talk show. The number to call, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about one of the Christian graces, patience. Patience is something that is very difficult for us to have. Patience is most comes from the Greek word hupomone, carries the idea of bearing up under the difficulties. Involved in patience is always activity. We've seen several passages that commands and tells us that we have to have patience in our life. In your possessions, possess ye or win ye your souls. So patience is important to our salvation. We've looked at some biblical examples of patience, the patience of God the Father, the patience of Jesus. But also we have many examples in the Old Testament of patience. The prophets were men who are said to be patient. In James chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, "Take, brethren, for an example of suffering of patience, the prophets who spake in the name of the Lord." You know, we could name, Frank, prophet after prophet, could we not, that showed great patience with the people of Israel?
Jeremiah preached for 50 years, and the people never did really listen to him.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing that men like that could have the patience with them that they do. You know, and David, I mean, Frank, one of the names that really pop out to us with regard to patience is a man by the name of Job. It says in James 5 and verse 11, "Behold, we call them blessed that endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, how the Lord is full of pity and merciful." The patience of Job. Tell us a little bit about the patience of Job, Frank.
The patience of Job begins with the encounter between actually God and Satan as they viewed the servant of God, who God described as a righteous man. And the Satan asked, well, does he serve God for naught? Mm-hmm. And if he loses what he has, will he still serve God? And there began to be a series of things that happened to Job that ultimately took away everything that he had, except his own life. He lost everything he owned. He lost his family. He lost his children. And in looking at the life of Job and of the patience of Job, you see both sides of the patience of Job. Job himself was patient.
Mm-hmm.
Job was patient with his friends. Look what his friends did. And yet Job was patient with his friends. And so, you know, this is something that we have to learn as far as patience is concerned. We have to learn to have patience with ourselves, and we have to learn to have patience with those with whom we deal.
You know, I think about Job and when Job was, when Satan approached God Job, God says, "Have you seen my servant Job? There's none like him in all the land." And Satan says, "Well, Job is faithful only because you're being good to him and providing him all these things." And can you imagine all the things that Job had to go through, and yet he did not sin before, he did not to call God into queen. Now he wavered throughout the book, but in the end, he showed the true patience, so much so that the Bible sets him forth as a good example of what patience is all about.
Well, that as we look at Job and all of the things that Job endured, Job was patient, and you also see the end of patience. You know, we sometimes, as we talk about the patience of Job, we look at all of the things he suffered and all of the things that happened to him. But look what was the final result mm-hmm. of his patience. Not only what he received, but we're still sitting here talking about him today.
Yeah. You know, so we see then from the example of Job and the prophets how important patience really is. But when we look, Frank, at the New Testament, we also see very fine examples of men of God who also were men of patience. For example, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, Paul says, "But thou didst follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience, persecution, suffering, and what things befell me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me." He says, you looked at my life and you're following my example, the example that I set forth in patience, and akin to that's the long suffering that's important for us to understand. Hello? Well, we had another phone call. And we're still having trouble with the phone. I'm not sure what's going on. But anyway, we need to realize that patience is very, very important with what we're having to endure in this life. Paul is a good example in 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 11 that we talked about. Well, I'm not really sure what's going on with the phone, but we're still not. Can you? And we're having difficulty with the phone. I'm sorry about that. We thought we had that straightened out, but we're still having phone difficulty, and so we'll try to get that settled next week. And if you're trying to call in and you can't get in on the 1-800 number, why don't you try this number? 254-654-3251. That's 254-654-3251. Now, when we think about patience, John talks about the patience he also had to endure on the Isle of Patmos, did he not, in Revelation?
John was on the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of the Lord. And you can imagine being isolated and where he was and what a thing it was for him when on the Lord's day that he heard a voice and turned to see the one that spoke with him. Mm-hmm. And then the results that followed of the patience that he had in listening and waiting for the Lord. You know, Habakkuk, the prophet of old, I think that he gives us a great example.
Hello, welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Can you hear me? Well, we're still having difficulty with the phone. We're getting calls in, but no one's able to hear me. So I'm not sure what the phone is. We'll try to get that addressed next week. I apologize for that. You know, there are lots of areas wherein we need to exercise patience.
Okay. As I was saying there just before the phone rang, mm-hmm. Habakkuk.
Yeah.
You remember that Habakkuk begins by saying that I'm going to go and get on my tower. I'm going to get in the right place, mm-hmm. and I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to wait and see what the Lord has to say to me. You know, he was patient. He was steadfast. He waited for the voice of God, and the rest of the book gives us the information that God spoke to him concerning what was going to happen to the children of mm-hmm. Israel.
Exactly right. And so patience is very vital, isn't it, to how we deal with people and how God deals with us and how we need to deal with the various issues that take place in our life. And so when we think about this idea of patience, Frank, there are several areas where we need to have patience with, and one of these is we need to exercise patience with ourselves, don't we?
Absolutely. And as we consider the patience we must have with ourselves, there are all things, sorts of things that we deal with in life, whether it be sickness, adversity of some kind.
Good.
And when these things come our way, failure, problems, we have to exercise patience, steadfastness, as it were, in order to continue in the way that we ought to go.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. You know, we think about being patient. We need to be patient with ourselves. You know, when people are sick, a lot of times they lack a lot of patience, don't they?
They want to get well right now.
Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes when they lack that patience, they allow,
David.
You know, yeah. David is a good example of sometimes not having patience in sickness. You know, sometimes we want to, what, be all the way back where we are. And he struggles with that. I know I struggle with when I get sick. I want to be well tomorrow. And sometimes people can get so down about their situation, they can become depressed. If we don't have the proper patience, we have to allow the medicines to do their work, or we have to allow God and His providence to do what He's going to do. And sometimes we lack patience when we fail. We don't have patience with ourselves in developing spiritual maturity. Is there not the case, Frank, that a lot of people are impatient and down on themselves because maybe they're not as mature as they'd like to be? They make mistakes and they get down on themselves because they lack patience.
And the result of that usually is they make more mistakes.
Exactly right.
Because they did not have the patience with themselves.
You know, and isn't that what the Christian graces is about? To add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and so on. These are things that you build on and add on, and we need to be patient. We can't be patient in these. We can't be perfect in all of these areas right off the bat. We have to grow as God's people and be patient.
These things are continually built on.
Mm-hmm.
And as he began to close those, if these things be in you and abound, we don't just get a little. We get all that we can of the things that he has listed there, putting forth the diligence that he tells us.
Exactly right. You know, when we look at in our Bibles in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we have an example here of the need of being patient with ourselves. Putting away here, 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 1, putting away, therefore, all wickedness and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes long for the spiritual milk which is without guile, that ye may grow thereby unto salvation, if ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know, Frank, when we start out as Christians, we are newborn babes, aren't we? And sometimes we're impatient with ourselves, and we want to be full grown, but we can't be that yet, so we have to be patient and work ourselves into that.
And in the same token, we see others that are babes in Christ, and we don't have patience with them.
Exactly right.
And it's going to take them time.
Exactly.
You know, one of the illustrations that we always can see of the need of patience and where patience must be is the husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
I've been married longer than you've been alive,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not sure that I've always had the amount of patience that I ought to have had,
mm-hmm.
but my wife, I will say, has been very patient
mm-hmm.
With me, and patience is an absolutely essential if family and if a husband and wife and relationship is going to be what it ought to be.
So we need not only to have patience with ourselves, but we also need to have patience in our homes, and as you mentioned, husband and wives need to be patient with one another. My wife is not perfect, and I'm not perfect, and patience is especially important, isn't it, Frank, in young marriages when they're trying to get to know one another?
Absolutely, because the getting acquainted process takes a long time.
It does.
The difference. You know, we make the statement sometimes about opposites attract, and we'll talk about people that they ought to be suited for each other because they're so different. Well, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, opposite attracts because it's male and female, but if there's a great difference between them, It's going to require a lot of patience to work those things out.
And when we think about patience in the home, not only does there need to be patience between a husband and wife, but parents should also be patient in dealing with their children. You know, we should never expect a man's head to be on a boy's body. And we need to remember that we were children once. That doesn't mean that we put up with their childish behaviors, but we also need to be careful that we don't expect too much of them and have enough patience to let them grow into manhood.
Paul gave that instruction to us in the Ephesian letter, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a growing process, and we need to have patience.
Exactly.
With them.
You know, and not only do we need to be patient with ourselves and to be patient in our homes, but I don't know about you, this is a hard one for me sometimes, Frank. We need to be patient in soul winning, don't we?
Absolutely. Just, you know, we can consider and think and recognize the absolute value of a soul, the importance of being right with God, and we don't know why everybody can't see it just like we do.
Mm-hmm.
But from where they are, their view sometimes is different, and it takes a while. We need to be patient in teaching and in carrying the message to them.
You know, it has been said, Frank, you can send a message around the world in 1/7 of a second, yet it takes years to force an idea through 1/4 inch of the human skull. How long did it take Noah and the preaching to the antediluvian world? How long did he preach? Some believe 120 years, right?
Some say it's 100 years, and it never got through to anyone.
You know, and Aquila and Priscilla, they exercised patience in teaching Apollos. And preachers of the gospel are to do their work with all long suffering. Now, when we think about long suffering and being patient, that does not mean we put up with wrongdoing, does it, Frank?
That we compromise truth and compromise right and wrong. We can't do that, but we have to be patient in developing the understanding of the individuals that come to Christ.
And so we've got to be patient enough to allow for exhorting, to be patient enough to pray with them and teach them. And you know, there are many efforts designed to try to reclaim lost souls and to help Christians grow. If somebody, Frank, maybe recently became a Christian and he was in the habit of cussing, he's probably not going to give that up overnight, is he?
He's not. It becomes something that is one of the most difficult things for him to do, is to change a habit that has been his. You know, we have good examples of that in the Corinthian letter, that some of those to whom Paul was writing had come out of all kinds of worldliness. As he'll say on one occasion, as such were some of you. They were things that they did that within and of themselves maybe were neither right nor wrong, but they clung to some of the things that they had held dear. And it took time. And there were those that wanted to condemn it. There were those that wanted to make everybody be just like they were. There's a period of time there. And Paul approaches it from both sides. Those that are stronger have to deal with the weak, but then he also tells the weak that you need to get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes some patience.
You know, Denny here in the chat box says that patience in relationship and in life is easier when we realize that the little things aren't the end of the world and that ultimately the world is not our home. And he says that many things aren't as big a deal as we make them to be, keeping things in priority. And that really helps us in regard to patience. We make a mountain out of a molehill sometimes, don't we?
Absolutely. And as he said there, a lot of times something that we thought was a big deal tomorrow was not nearly the big deal that we thought it was today.
Yeah, exactly right. And so it's important for us to remember the importance of patience in our dealing with ourselves, in dealing with people in our home, in dealing with soul winning. Be patient toward all men. I've often heard someone say, after a loved one is baptized into Christ, I've been waiting years and years for this. Just like the couple that you talked about, how that she was patient for many years and finally her husband came to the gospel.
Absolutely, and became a very faithful, active member of God's body.
But you know, when we think about this idea of patience, one of the things that I know that I have struggled with at times in my life, and that is being patient when you're being persecuted. We don't always like to be mistreated, do we? And it's something hard for us to deal with. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, it says, "But in everything, commending ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, in necessities of distresses, in stripes, imprisonments, entoldments, in labors, in watching, in fasting." He said, in everything, be patient with these, even in the face of various difficulties in life. Here's Paul, who spent a great deal of time in prison and still writes about the importance of patience.
Yeah, there is also Paul, who brought the gospel to the city of Corinth. The church began because Paul was there, and later to have some of those same individuals question whether or not he was even an apostle. Paul not only wrote them two letters, but went back and visited them again. He was patient and long-suffering with them.
Exactly. You know, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, "So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and in afflictions which ye endure." Here Paul is remembering them and is happy that they were patient in their persecutions and in their afflictions. Too many times, Frank, we stand around and all we do is a bunch of belly aching and complaining when these difficulties come our way, and we aren't patient and long-suffering and steadfast in these persecutions. And that causes us to be, well, what do they say, a sourpuss? Look like we've been walking around with we've been winged on a sour pickle. That's not the way we're supposed to be.
You know, the saying that, you know, you don't judge an individual till you've walked a mile in his shoes. We don't have patience with people sometimes because they're not doing or acting the way that we think they should.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know for sure where they're coming from.
Exactly right. You know, we have patience. We need patience in persecution. But also, there are things that happen to us in life, Frank, that aren't necessarily persecutions, but they are trials.
Tribulation.
That we go through. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, "Account it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing." What does James tell us there, Frank, with regard to patience?
James is telling us there that with each occasion that with which we must deal and are successful, then we're much better equipped to deal with the next one.
Mm-hmm.
That when we exercise patience and come through whatever the problem, whatever the trial or the temptation was, that we're strengthened. We're stronger than we were when we went into it. And when we deal with another, we'll be better equipped to deal with it.
Exactly.
Patience strengthens us. It is, as someone described it, as quiet strength. And that's what patience is.
When we think about this idea of patience, and we know that the Bible requires us to be patient people, we've looked at examples of people who were patient in the Bible, and we've seen now that we need to exercise patience with ourselves and patience in our home, patient in soul winning, patient in persecution, be patient in trials. But in our case, Frank, we need to be patient regarding church growth. You know, we're in the business, we're in the soul business, aren't we?
We are, and And we sometimes say, well, we're not in the number business, but we are.
We like numbers, don't we?
We like and numbers. Each number represents a soul.
Uh-huh.
And so, yes, we have to be involved with it.
Hello, welcome to the program. Give us your name and comment, please. Well, we're still having trouble with it. Ed Rogers has called in some four times now and can't get through. We're sorry about that, Ed. We'll try to get this fixed for next week. We thought we had it fixed, but we're still having some difficulty. We'll get our phone man on it and see what we can do about it. Well, you know, we need to be patient regarding church growth. And the best fruit, we're told, ripens the slowest. You know, it has been said you can't plant corn in the morning and expect to have roasting ears by the evening. You know, it takes patience, and anything worthwhile takes patience, doesn't it, Frank?
You know, the Holy Spirit, through the inspired writer, tells us the farmer, when he goes out and plants, he knows there's a period of time before he's going to reap the harvest.
Exactly right.
He has to wait in patience for the time of harvest.
And so, you know, God, Paul planted, Paulus watered, and God gives the increase. And so there's patience involved. You know, we only have a minute or two left, Frank, but let's mention quickly some things that can help us produce patience. One of the things that helps us produce patience is to get involved in God's Word, right?
Absolutely. That as we understand those things that God reveals to us as we look into His Word. You know, one of the thoughts that we had a little bit earlier was the idea of conviction, that our patience is based on our conviction. The stronger our conviction, the greater will be our patience. If we truly believe in God, believe His Word, then our patience with that Word and that work is going to be greater because of our conviction.
Exactly. And so we've got to allow God's Word to work in our lives. Tribulation, we're told in James 1, 2 through 4, works patient. The difficulties we endure in life, if we handle them correctly, it helps to develop patience. Colossians 1, verses 9 through 11 talks about how that we should be praying for patience. Prayer is a very powerful thing in helping us in patience, isn't it, Frank?
Absolutely. Prayer is a very powerful thing, and probably one of the things that we do not exercise as much as we should. The opportunity that God gives us of always being open to our prayers.
Mm-hmm. You know, Frank, we're just about out of time, and I'd like to leave us with a quote. Someone once said that patience strengthens the spirit, sweetens the temper, stifles anger, extinguishes envy, subdues pride, bridles the tongue, restrains the hand, and tramples upon temptation. Tonight we'd like to ask you, how is your patience? You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.